Welcome to the Dice Guys, episode number 11 for November 19th, 2011. Today on the Dice Guys, you're going to hear Mike and Jason talk about dice walking and other ways that you can use dice in your life to fix your indecisionitis. Also, we go over web series that we like and things you might want to watch on the
We
web.
hope.
We hope, yeah. Also, we have our games picks of the week and Brain Flakes. Brain Flakes that are still, after 11 episodes, so crunchy in milk, I can't come up with a reason why they're crunchy. Nah, man. Trying to kill me. So, Jason, how's your week?
Interesting, not productive
Oh,
at
okay.
all. Last Sunday, gaming group came over. My daughter ran a game of Scion.
Oh, okay.
I'm proud daddy moment here because she did a fantastic job. I cannot wait to see what happens next, the next time we all get together. So that was awesome. And ever since then, I've been locked in Skyrim.
Okay.
Yeah. I've been neglecting my previous addiction of Minecraft, which I'm still addicted to, for my Skyrim addiction now.
Awesome.
Yeah,
You
actually,
know, it's good
it
to
is
it's
awesome.
good to change up your addictions now and then. It keeps things fresh.
Yes, I totally
You're
agree.
not the same old tracks.
Yep.
So.
So between my toes, man. Anyway, so yeah, my week fairly boring. How about yours?
Well, mine, I spent doing some things that I don't really need to talk about because it's just normal crap, work and
Okay.
stuff. But I also played some Skyrim
Excellent.
when I should have been sleeping.
Same
I
here.
basically did the first section of it thinking that it would take me about 20 minutes, and it took me 2 hours and 20 minutes, mainly because I got stuck building my character and making him look just the way I wanted him to look.
Yeah.
So. And you never really see them during
No,
the
I mean you
game.
can, but in the course of the game it doesn't affect
Man.
anything, but
And you end up
that's
putting
fun
a you
anyway.
end up putting a helmet on them or something anyway. So all that face stuff that you did, pff, who cares? So anyway, but I played the first section of that. It was kind of cool. And I also took a course on audio theater directing.
Cool.
Kind of trying to see about how it works and everything. I've done a lot of audio editing, but I kind of wanted to get some more information and get in some other things that I needed to get into. I've done some things like that in the past, but it'll be good to hear from more professional type people. So.
Right. Well, I think you're kind of a natural audio editor because you do a fantastic job, but there's n never any limit to how much you can
Oh
learn. So.
yeah, definitely want to get some more stuff in there. So
All
that's
right.
pretty much it though.
Cool.
So
All right, then it's time for Brain Flakes.
Brain Flakes.
All right, we've got some great brain flakes this week.
Yeah, things that just kind of stuck in our brains.
There's some fantastic ones. And I think I want to start with this little tidbit that I discovered.
Tidbit. That's a good
Yeah,
word for
I thought so.
it.
So, without any real further comment, I want to announce that on Canadian TV, Pamela Anderson is going to be playing the Virgin Mary in a Christmas TV special.
Awesome. That's kind of a
I'm
stretch for her.
not even going to make the comment that I was going to make on that. This is just okay. I said no comment, but I will make this comment. Wow. Wow, somebody's smoking a lot of illegal substances up there. Anyway, let's move on.
Well, I wanted to mention the fact that the FBI put out their sort of annual report on terrorist gangs and other things recently. And besides the Juggalos.
Yeah, I love the fact that the Juggalos are listed on there as a potential gang of subversives.
Yeah, they're you know they're pretty they can be pretty nasty people, but they're far from a gang. They're pretty they're pretty anarchist.
There's not any real organization to that.
So, but besides the Juggalos, Second Life users are a gang of terrorists. Basically, they're saying that Second Life can be used as a training ground for terrorists.
Recruiting ground. They mentioned recruiting ground.
Recruiting ground and training ground. They mentioned training in there.
Because, I mean, good Lord, you want a bunch of furries running around with bombs strapped to them. They're going to be inconspicuous and get into places.
Yeah, I mean, obviously. You know, just the other day, I was in Second Life dressed as a platypus, and I was training myself to fly without an airplane and with rainbow glitter coming out of my tail. So it was awesome. And it'll totally confuse people as I go and fly into something.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
In real life.
In real life.
Yeah. Obviously useful. So,
now,
you know, there's other stuff in the report that are good things, but I think, you know, somebody up there is smoking the wacky stuff too. So,
I think somebody's using it as an excuse to play Second Life all day. Yeah, I'm investigating this as a potential subversive. Yeah, you're in there doing your furry porn.
Yeah, that's probably it. He's probably downstairs with Mulder or something. So, anyway, I don't know. What else we got here? We got...
I mentioned smoking illegal substances earlier, which kind of ties into addiction. Mm-hmm. Which, Minecraft! That's...
Welcome to Jason's Minecraft podcast.
Yeah. This is... This is supposed to be released this weekend.
Mm.
Official release. If you haven't gotten in on the beta sale, discounted sale price of Minecraft, you're screwed. It's too late. You're paying full price. But guess what, guys? It's totally worth it.
Totally
Get
worth it.
It. Now, here's the awesome thing. The company Mojang that puts out Minecraft, I'm probably not pronouncing that right, but there it is. They've already made a ton of money off this game just on the beta pre-release. They've already sold 4 million copies of the game before it was even officially released. That's got to be a record, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, check it out. Jump into it. Hell of a lot of fun.
Okay.
And that leaves us with our
science! Science brain flakes. We've got to have at least one or two science brain flakes.
Hey, we have two this week.
We have two very short mentions. First one I'd like to mention is that they have found water, actual water, a lake of it, the size of all the Great Lakes put together, supposedly.
Right.
About 1.8 miles under the surface of the icy crust of Europa, a moon of Jupiter, for those who don't know that.
Right.
So, that means that we can send people out into space, make a stop over at Europa, and suck up some water. If we need it, if we're thirsty.
Well, they don't say how pure it is. We don't really know what the water contains.
Well, you know, it's probably perfectly pure and probably just got some kind of, you know, Jupiter amoebas in it or something.
Yeah.
They won't give you the trots at all. Or it'll give you
trots in your spacesuit. That's going to be fun.
It'll give you trots the size of Jupiter, probably. So,
but yeah, I mean, the main thing that's exciting is their liquid water, folks, potential for life.
Yeah, unless you believe like we do in metal life. So,
hey, they've proven that can happen too.
Yeah.
So there you go. More proof that we may not be alone in the universe.
And you had found a science brain flake too.
Yeah, it's the fact we mentioned before that at the Large Hadron Collider that they had an anomalous test that showed that some neutrinos had traveled faster than the speed of light.
Yep.
Everybody's saying, oh, that's a fluke, you know, that's not real and that sort of thing. So they recreated the test, and guess what, guys? They replicated the results. Neutrinos that traveled faster than the speed of light.
Awesome.
That is awesome. It's foundation shaking for our belief in what's possible. But at the same time, you mentioned earlier that this is quantum level stuff.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily disprove Einstein's theory.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. For the real possible world that we live in overall, right. The theory is a theory.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still not seeing people traveling faster than the speed of light.
No, not for quite some time.
Not until we learn to bend space time, create wormholes, or use a large, massive laser array to rip holes in space time. Sorry, I'm bringing in the last podcast.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other problem you have is getting up to that speed and not being turned into Swiss cheese by particles of dust.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, one way you can avoid being turned into Swiss cheese might be to randomize it. If you, like, randomize where you are at any one time, maybe the dust particles can't hit you.
That's true.
So, you know, so that's where you just use dice for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like in our first feature story about dice walking.
Absolutely. For pure insanity's sake, we're going to discuss dice walking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are several websites that exist that talk about dice walking. They don't last very long, and we'll explain why.
So, yeah, I found out that dice walking is basically taking dice, assigning values to the numbers on them, and then rolling to see what you're going to do that day, or what you're going to do that minute, or that second, or what you're going to do to that person that's standing in front of you. So,
yeah.
Probably not a good idea because, you know, they might punch you. So
they might punch you. They might react poorly. You might go to prison. It all depends on what the dice are telling you to do. Does this sound anything like schizophrenia?
Anyway, but it's based on apparently it traces itself back to a book in 1971 called The Dice Man by a guy named Luke Reinhardt. And he wrote this sort of science fiction novel about a psychiatrist that rolls dice to, you know, find out what he's going to do that day and everything. It's been banned in several countries
for its inclusion of rape, murder, all this kind of stuff. Apparently, the dice were telling him very, very bad things to do.
Yeah, and
and he did them.
And he goes bonkers.
Yeah.
So it's not a very good book to base anything on, I guess.
I wouldn't think so, but there's apparently plenty of people out there who have decided to try this out for themselves. These websites last anywhere up to a year, I think, before apparently the dice tell them, screw it. We're not going to do this anymore.
Yeah, let's not do this anymore.
Or they just, the dice walked them off a cliff. The dice decided, let's not live our lives this way
the
anymore.
The dice told them to turn left, would have to happen to be into the path of a truck.
Who knows? I mean, it's kind of a ridiculous thing to do. You could take it too far. Now, I can honestly see it being useful for minor things.
I've used it before. Like
you can't decide what restaurant you want to eat at, and you've got a choice of three. Well, randomize that. What the heck? Do that. For every decision in your life?
Yeah.
Maybe the first random table should be on a six-sided die. 1 through 6 should be check with a psychiatrist.
And not the
that's
one
all
that's
I'm
this,
saying.
Not
and
the one
not
book.
The one in the Dice Man.
Yeah. Now, one of these blogs is kind of interesting because he does tell a story which is kind of funny.
Right.
And that is he apparently assigned to a die when he was at a bar whether he would talk English or Portuguese to the drunk people he met.
Right.
And this was where Portuguese was the language. And he said that when he spoke English to people, they either asked him what he was talking about, but the majority of the drunk people he talked to just went out and talked like he was talking Portuguese to them, even though he was talking English.
Yeah, apparently they were drunk enough that they didn't realize he wasn't speaking Portuguese. That's pretty drunk, guys.
So yeah, that's kind of a funny story and everything. He talks about also dating for that. That seems
I think
like
that gets a little more
that
dangerous.
That could be a problem. Yeah.
Now, speaking of more useful ways that you can apply this theory, Mike, you discovered something about dice music.
Dice music. Now, dice music's interesting. I'm a member on a board forum called iCompositions.com.
Check it out, people. Really cool
Yeah,
stuff.
it's basically a lot of independent musicians, and there's even some professional musicians on there, and some amateur musicians, and then people like me who think they know music and they're just playing around.
Hey, you produce some good stuff.
But one guy mentioned about dice music and how he sometimes needs to be inspired. So he'll assign, say, a genre to the dice sides and then roll what his genre is going to be. And then he might assign a beats per minute to the dice numbers and then roll that. He might, he'll just piece together the music like
And
that,
he
and it
could even
helps
take
him.
it down to what notes are going to be played. I mean,
What key it's going to be in.
yeah, it's
So
that might get a
eventually,
little bit crazy,
yeah,
but
but eventually, basically, it's an idea. It's a way to focus your thoughts and build the music so that you get a base to build from.
right.
So it's kind of a cool idea. And then somebody else came back on that and said that they what he was talking about was actually a musical genre that's been around since the 15th century called aleatoric music, and it's randomized music. And it goes, like I said, it goes back to the 15th century, and it was also known as later as the musical dice game, and Mozart even played it. And they would basically roll dice for pieces of the music or whatever, and then build around it to see who could build the best piece. I'm figuring Mozart won a lot. And
Well, you
Salvatore
would think
probably hated
so.
his guts.
You'd
So,
probably think so, yeah.
so anyway,
All
so
right.
yeah, so there are positive ways to do this. If you want to randomize some of your life, go for it. And if you take it to heart, you're probably going to write a blog until you disappear.
Yeah. Careful with that, guys.
Yeah.
All right. So now we will go to my game pick of the week,
Your game
which
pick of the week.
Yeehaw, got snake eyes.
since last Sunday we played Scion, which is an RPG. I'm going to go ahead and use that because I had a whole lot of fun playing it.
Okay.
It's basically a game where you are the offspring of a god
Okay.
of there's multiple pantheons available, and so you get certain extra powers that are kind of cool, and you would think it would make you overpowered, but they temper it quite a bit. Basically it's an RPG, and it's got all the RPG elements that you would expect it to have. It's a lot of fun. It's cool to have these powers to interact with the gods, to basically the one we were playing is kind of a murder mystery kind of thing, and my daughter is the one who was running it, and she did a fantastic job acting out the characters. At one point we had a battle that we were intervening on between centaurs and harpies, and she did this is going to sound kind of bad, but she did a great harpy. She really did. She was awesome. And the whole group was great. We had a lot of fun, and I guess that's probably the key to an RPG. Your theme can be almost anything as long as your group is gets into it and has fun. So there you go. Scion.
Scion. Who
Yeah,
makes
it's
do
a
you know?
storytelling game. Honestly, I should have looked that up. I think it's White Wolf.
White Wolf. It sounds like a White Wolf game with just the
I mean, the
name already.
mechanics of it are very much White Wolf. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say, yes, it's definitely White Wolf.
Well, we'll have all that detail on
Yeah,
the show
absolutely.
notes with a link to the game if you want to purchase the rule book. And if you can't find it at your friendly local game store.
Right, absolutely.
So, why don't we just go into my game pick week from that?
Okay,
So,
absolutely. Let's just bunch them up.
we'll bunch them up this week.
We're herding
So,
them. Circle the wagons.
my game pick of the week is a small little game by James Ernst, and I've picked up James Ernst's games before. He did Give Me the Brain and such. This one is a game, a little card game called Falling.
This is an awesome little game.
It costs less than $10,
Right.
$9.95 or less. And basically, the gist of the game is that you are a goblin falling to your death.
There's a horde of goblins falling out of the sky for whatever reason.
For whatever reason, doesn't really matter. They're just falling. And you have decided, or the goblins have decided, that whoever is the last one to hit the ground wins.
Right. Because it's all they could think to do on their way down.
On their way down.
According to the rule book.
Yeah. So basically, it's just a little card game. It's kind of played in a way like blackjack. You have stacks that are played in front of the players. And there's a dealer that doesn't actually participate in the game itself for that round. And he deals out cards to each player. How there are kicker cards or bonus cards, extra cards that basically determine certain things, like if the dealer skips somebody so they don't get a card that turn,
right,
or if they get extra cards played on them. The reason they might get extra cards played on them is because every time he plays a card, there's a chance the ground comes up and smacks you in the face and other various parts of your goblin body. So, and you don't want
I think
that.
It's probably going to smack you all over.
Yeah, pretty much. So, it's a game for four to eight players.
And they're very honest about the fact that you really don't want to play it with less.
Yeah, there's a lot of games out there that say two to whatever, and we find that the two-player version is not all that great.
Right.
So this one's very honest. It says you really need four players, three players and a dealer to start out with.
Yeah, and it also says if you want to play with more than eight, get a second deck, mix them together, play with more than eight.
Yep. And if you do happen to run out of ground cards before you run out of goblins, then there's always ground to go around, so they just eventually hit the ground anyway.
Yeah, you can just say you can just imagine the ground, because the grounds are all at the end of the deck.
But I thought this looked like a pretty cool thing. It's been around for a while, actually. This is this is celebrating the 10th anniversary of Falling, and it's called a re-envisioning of James Ernst's highly popular card game. Yep. So it's probably got new artwork and everything, and goblins look pretty funny. Wide open mouths and eyes, different sizes, and yeah, they're great until they splat. So
then they're not so great anymore.
But I like splatty
things.
They're
great big puddles.
I like splatty things. So Falling, under $10, pick it up.
Yep.
And if you can't pick it up at your friendly local game store, then
click on our link.
Click on our link and buy it there.
All right.
So.
All right. Well, web series.
Yes. Yes.
Is one of the last things we wanted to cover.
Yeah. We wanted to go over something that's just fun.
Yeah.
Just some fun stuff. And some of these things are game related, some aren't, but they are web series that are fairly well made.
Oh yeah. Well,
they have no production money really. I think a couple of them may be on Kickstarter now. So we'll go over that and everything. But each one of us has picked out about three web series we think you should check out. So Jason, take it away.
I'm going to start with the awesome Felicia Day.
Felicia Day.
Yep. She's incredibly talented. She's a producer, writer, actor. She's a very cute redhead. But that's not the important bit.
No, it's not.
It's not.
No.
She does the Guild.
Mm-hmm.
And Dragon Age. She did the mini web series, Dragon Age Redemption.
Is that finished yet, or is it still coming out with that?
The number six just came out this week.
Is that the end of it?
At the end of the week, yep.
Okay.
And if you follow the link down at the bottom of the homepage that I have, it's a list of all the episodes with commentary videos.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing lady, does amazing series. The first season of The Guild was done out of pocket.
Yeah.
Just her and her friends and some donations from people who like the show. Created the first season of The Guild. Then they were picked up by the Microsoft Network and Sprint.
Mm-hmm.
And they got sponsored for their further seasons. And they're all great. They're still doing it on a very minimal budget, which is pretty amazing. If you ever watch them, it's like, really? Fairly high production values.
Mm-hmm.
Dragon Age Redemption was backed by BioWare. They brought her on because she knew how to do it without spending a lot of money. And it's a lot of fun. Really good thing.
I thought the first episode was a little choppy of Dragon Age Redemption.
Mm, well, she's having to try and tell it in 6 episodes. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of rough.
Yeah, so just keep that in mind if you watch it, that the first episode, you're kind of learning about the character. Mm-hmm. I think even she was really getting into the character herself. By the second episode, it was a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So stick with it.
Excellent series. Check it out. I think you're going to enjoy it a lot. And my final one is one by the Dead Gentleman, who did The Gamers and Gamers Dorkness Rising, which, guys, if you haven't checked those out, they're on DVD. Get them. They're amazing.
Hide behind the wall of bards. You'll get that if you watch it.
Yeah. That's Dorkness Rising. Journey Quest is a web series about a small party that is on a quest, and the main character in the party is a mage who is not a very good mage.
Always a good staple of fantasy.
Absolutely. Party. It's funny. It's really well acted. Decent writing. You can tell that it's a web series. I mean, the production value is a little bit iffy sometimes on the props and the setting. But that doesn't matter. This is a comedy. It's a lot of fun. And I actually think that the cheaper sets are part of the charm of it.
Mm-hmm. So I like old Doctor Who stuff.
I bought the first season on DVD to support these guys. I believe now they are on Kickstarter.
Yeah, their second season.
Funding their second season. So check it out. And if you like them, send them money so that they can keep doing this, because they're doing a great job.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike?
I've got actually 2 fantasy series and some science fiction series.
Excellent.
So one is called Standard Action, and it's made by a small group of people, and it follows the story of a barbarian elf who apparently has lived a very long life and looks to be about 20.
Yeah.
She's probably about 1,000 years old. She's had every job known to elfdom, and now she's decided she wants to be a barbarian.
Which doesn't set well with her kinsmen.
No. and she does a pretty good job being a barbarian. I get the feeling from the episodes I've watched that she's a lot smarter than she plays as a barbarian.
Yeah, I think she's putting on the barbarian thing, and she's having a hell of a good time doing
there
it.
There is a
she's
druid
enjoying
that
it.
There is a druid character that is very depressing, and he doesn't seem to really want to be a druid, but it's all he knows how to do.
Mm-hmm.
There is a bard that is a bard, very happy-go-lucky, and sings songs he thinks are great.
Yeah.
Not very good. And then the wizard woman and everything. So you've got the 4 people, you know, four types, and they're basically on a quest to find the leader of the group that disappeared.
Kidnapped by orcs
or whatever, yeah. You know. So, and it's sort of them getting together and then journeying off to find the leader of the of their old group that they think is going to lead them on to better things. And it's just a lot of fun. Now, this one, a little slow in places.
Mm.
That, to me, I like that kind of slow growing humor thing, that sort of undercurrent of this is just weird.
Right.
You know,
right.
These people are just nuts. So I like that. Some people don't. They like a little bit more slapstick and everything. So it might not be to everybody's taste, but I mean, come on. The first episode has, you know, her standing outside of a outhouse. I mean, what's funnier than an outhouse? Come on. Toilet humor. You got to love it.
Got to love it.
The other one that I want to mention is one called Legends of Atoll.
Mm-hmm.
This one has much higher production values.
It does.
And, I mean, this thing could probably be on television, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, the production values are really high. The acting is really good and funny. And basically, again, follows a small group of adventurers, starts out with them in a dungeon running from skeletons, and they get trapped in a room, and the thief sees a chest and decides to open the chest. I'm not going to mention what happens because it's hilarious.
Yeah, but, no need for spoilers.
Yeah, but they also have a dungeon master character who shows up to tell them, you know, to get on with it and get, you know, get on the way. which, you know, we've all had to do that if we play role-playing games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a lot of fun. You know, the evil guy, pretty funny evil.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And his followers, really stupid.
Yeah, it's fun. It's good stuff.
So, yeah, Legends of Toll. And lastly, I just wanted to mention fan films. These are actually fan films because they use a known known IP, and that would be Star Trek. Mm-hmm. Now, Star Trek, there are tons of fan films out there, and I've watched...
From horrible to awesome.
Oh, and I've watched all of them.
Yeah,
sadly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I go through a lot of crap to get to the good stuff. And a couple of the good ones, in my opinion.
Klingon Bohemian Rhapsody.
Okay, that's pretty funny. But not.
That's just a video. That's not a fan film.
Klingon Bohemian Rhapsody is pretty funny.
It is.
look it up. Anyway, but no, what I'm going to mention is Star Trek Phase 2. Phase 2 is started out as Star Trek New Voyages. It's been around for a number of years. And James Cawley puts it together. He started it. Basically, he makes the costumes himself, and he funded it by being a Elvis impersonator. So the first episode's kind of funny because he has Elvis hair. So it's kind of like, you know, you expect James Kirk to kind of come out and say, oh, huh. So
do a little hip shake.
Yeah. But, you know, James Kirk had a kind of swagger anyway.
He did.
So it does kind of work. It's just funny. But overall, acting's pretty good. The stories. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
The special effects are television quality. You can't get, you know, you're getting good quality stuff. There are people in the industry working on this on their spare time, basically.
Right.
And you know, like I said, there's various stories. The other thing that's cool about Phase 2 is they get some of the old actors from Star Trek. Walter Koenig has been on an episode. George Takei has been on an episode. Other people from the television series.
Can't remember if Janice Rand was on there.
Janice Rand has been on there.
Grace,
the one who plays Janice Rand, has been on there. They have many, and not just the main characters, but secondary characters too. Barbara Luna, who played a Romulan queen, basically in the first series, has been on there a couple of times. So it's very good. I'll have a link to that. Also, check out a one called Hidden Frontier.
Okay.
That one is a little bit lesser quality. They do everything via green screen, and their first
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, and their first episodes are not that great because the green screen wasn't that great. And probably about the third or fourth season, they really start getting the act together, and the green screen becomes less noticeable. The stories pick up. The acting picks up a little bit. And it's just a good overall overarching series that you can watch from beginning to end and see the whole sweep of the story.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I really like about that. And the guy who does that, Ron Caves, I think. Is it Ron Caves? I have to look that up. But he has done several other spinoffs from that and also done their own series so that they could try to get away from the copyright issues and everything.
Right.
But he's not producing anything right now, but you can still go and see all these old episodes and some of the newer ones that they've done up until like a year, last year or so when they had to stop making them. So
awesome. If you guys can pull yourself away from Skyrim or Minecraft or Modern Warfare 3, or any number of the other games that have come out on the consoles recently that are amazing.
Yeah.
Or your other games, other board games, iPad games, whatever. We've got other ways for you to waste your time.
That's right. And we will talk about all kinds of ways to waste your time here on the Dice Guys.
Hey, so that's what we're about, having fun.
Yeah,
so, we're not about all that work-a-day crap.
Ah, who wants to do that, you know?
Yeah. All right.
Well, until next time.
As long as you don't take it too far, keep rolling those dice.
Yes, keep rolling the dice. Oh, man. are trying to kill me.